Welcome one and welcome all. We're here live on February 7th, 2016. Starting out tonight, just me, James, and Blaze, editor-in-chief over at Crackberry. How you doing, man? You keeping up on any of the Super Bowl goodness?
I'm actually like in the bedroom right now and I can hear the TV on out in the living room, and I'm like, I got one ear there and one ear here, so you know.
Yeah. Alex should be with us shortly, man. So we're just gonna get started here. Just get this hour going. A little bit of BlackBerry news as we started here was BlackBerry actually pushing the February security patch that started rolling out. Blaze, have you captured this update on any of your devices? I actually got it for my AT&T model.
Yeah, that's actually kind of like a secondary story within itself. But yeah, I mean, I have the shop BlackBerry version, so I got it pretty much the exact same day that it was pushed out. So, I have another AT&T version as well, but that's, you know, like I said, that's a secondary story in itself because AT&T never pushed out the previous version. They never actually pushed out the January version, right? So all the customers on the AT&T ended up getting the January and the February version in one singular update. So that was awesome.
Yeah, it's got everybody current, which is always good to see as they push the security updates. It's cool that at least with their carrier partners, a lot of the important ones, that those security updates are coming pretty regularly and kind of like on a timely, consistent basis. I mean, what do you think about that? It seems like carrier relations have improved at least from the release aspect now that they've gone to Android.
Yeah, I mean, there was Michael Cooley did up a blog post basically highlighting, you know, some of the carrier, not necessarily laying out each individual carrier agreements, but basically, you know, reiterating the situation there between BlackBerry and the carriers with basically rolling out the updates. So, yeah, I mean, you know, it's great that they've managed to go ahead and at least get that bit of a carrier relationship happening. I just hope that it, you know, continues on. Of course, I don't foresee it actually stopping. Like, nobody's going to, like, agree to something and then stop it halfway through or anything like that. But, yeah, I mean, you know, the continuous updates and being able to go ahead and see what patch level you're on and, you know, all of that good security side of the stuff is actually beneficial for BlackBerry. And, of course, at the same time, it's beneficial for, you know, the end users. It's beneficial for the carriers as well because, you know, at that point, the carriers can say, hey, look, we're dedicated to updating these Android devices when and where it's possible, even if it's not even necessarily BlackBerry related. Like, you know, at least the carriers can go ahead and say that.
Absolutely. And it really helps, I think, in all those areas and as well on the perception side of things for the security of their customers on Android, right? Like, if you're really going to deliver on a secure Android solution and mean it, it's good that they kind of back it up in this way. Alex has hopped on. How you doing, man?
Hey, what's going on? Sorry about that. My stuff got really messed up. How you guys doing?
Doing good, doing good.
Yeah, that's good. We're in the middle of talking about security updates that rolled in for Priv. Have you gotten yours?
Yeah, I was actually kind of surprised. I got it fairly quickly, especially I wasn't expecting to get it as soon as I did. But now that I look into it more, I think that AT&T may have skipped the previous security update. I think I went directly from December to February. So that's probably why I got it so quickly.
Yeah, that's what we were saying before you actually hopped on. Like, it was the AT&T customers benefited from it basically because they combined the January and the February update and they pushed that out. So.
Yeah. So aside from that, we have even more kind of security conversation as we talk about rooting these devices, right? And how BlackBerry is standing by this device integrity that they have built in on Priv on Android. And this is the same kind of implementation they had, obviously, on BlackBerry 10 built for Android. What do you think about this kind of security implementation for them?
You know, I'm really interested to see what ends up happening once we get Marshmallow, if they decide to keep it the way that they're doing it or if they decide to do something differently. I mean, it brings me back to when I was hearing all this stuff where, oh, you know, they're not really doing anything especially secure in their own way, but then they kind of break it down and how it can't be rooted. And, like, the fact that Marshmallow exists, Marshmallow can still be rooted, though. So obviously BlackBerry is doing something beyond what Marshmallow just brings with it for security's sake. So I get the argument, but at the same time, I kind of don't. I guess we'll just see what happens. It's obviously good that they're putting something into security, but.
I just think it's interesting that nobody has actually gone ahead and rooted it yet. Like it,
Yeah.
and I'm of two ways about that because, you know, there's different scenarios that play out when a device gets rooted. Is the right set of eyes not looking at the code to be able to go ahead and root it? Is BlackBerry's code really secure enough that nobody has been able to go ahead and root it? Or does it really break down to like that there's nobody just genuinely interested in rooting the BlackBerry Priv?
But you
Like,
know there are, and that's the one.
Security
No,
through obscurity, though. I get you, Chris.
I was totally playing devil's advocate on that end because I know that there are people out there, like on XDA, there's people just wanting to go ahead and tear it open. But you know, at the same time, I think what BlackBerry has done in ways of the security measures has sort of been solidified because of the fact that it hasn't been rooted as of yet. You know, because I mean, we live in a world where Android devices were basically rooted the first day that they were released, or even before release. Like somebody from a carrier store would say, "Hey, this device isn't even available yet, but we've already got it rooted." So it's interesting.
It's interesting to hear BlackBerry talk about it as well, again, because they bring it from their own kind of perspective and how they can try to benefit the situation. So it is interesting to see that kind of, you know, stuff being put out at least socially, like on their blogs and stuff like that. I think it's
Yeah,
pretty smart of them to do, and they should keep doing stuff like that.
it's in some ways, I looked at that post though as like, you know, a call to hackers, pretty much to like, hey, look, we're sort of semi-gloating about the fact that the device hasn't been rooted yet, so you know, maybe somebody will catch on and actually go ahead and try and root it now. It's kind of like,
It could be a call to arms for sure. I assume
yeah.
that these hacking conferences, which I know happen, like, you know, Black Hat and things like that, stuff like this would be uncovered or at least revealed, and we still haven't heard much. I mean, if anything.
But there is also a lot of people saying, like, okay, so if the Priv gets hacked, does that mean BlackBerry's done? Like, is that going to destroy it? No, I mean, BlackBerry's been clear about if they do get, if not hacked, but if they do something to be able to root it or whatever, they're going to be quick to fix it. Whereas a lot of other vendors, they're kind of like, oh, well, that was
Yeah,
bound to happen.
they don't do anything about it. They just chalk it up as Android being Android, right?
So I think nothing is 100% secure ever. I mean, expect it to eventually get hacked or whatever you want to call it, but BlackBerry's gonna be quick to fix it, and I think that is the main thing. They put such importance on security, where they're probably going to do like a mid of the month update pushed out quickly to fix whatever patch if it's something that's really a big deal, where you can't really expect that from other carriers. Well, not carriers, other phone
And
manufacturers or software
I would
manufacturers.
like to think that, you know, if that scenario, excuse me, if that scenario does actually play out like that, that would be the story that people end up telling. Like, you know, that BlackBerry, yeah, it got rooted, but BlackBerry ended up fixing it, you know, 2 or 3 days later, whatever the case may be. But, you know, that's usually not the way things roll. People concentrate on the negative and then, you know, but whatever.
Like BlackBerry laid off 35% of their staff, whatever.
Oh, that's too rich. And we'll get there. I want to talk beforehand about AtHoc. Specifically, this division of BlackBerry has gotten a new data center in Canada. Do you guys happen to read in on this little bit of news?
Yeah, I caught it.
It's kind of an interesting bit, specifically from like a regional, you know, a locality standpoint for Canada being of multiple benefits in terms of location here, which is kind of interesting.
Yeah, I mean, I think any data center, like you look at a company like Google and they just have so many data centers and everything crazy like that. I think it never hurts to have a bunch of data centers and things to do with that, and it's always a good thing to hear about that. Just expanding. Essentially that also shows that they're serious about their software offerings. If you start investing into data centers and doing all of that, then that means that you're serious about software. Not, I mean, the writing's on the wall, what's coming on between hardware and software, and it's good to see them focus more and more on software.
I just found it interesting that the data center for Canada, or the data center within Canada, is actually for stuff based in Europe. So it makes you wonder, like, what's going on there, that maybe the European government doesn't want their stuff, you know, based within the U.S. They want their stuff based within Canada.
Yeah, that's exactly it. It looks like there's some kind of European court data sovereignty, and this is a good way to serve that business that without having any conflicts of interest. So really cool, again, how it's, as Alex said, really allowing them to expand their software side of things, but do it in a diversified way. Always good news, and we've seen good stuff out of AdHoc, in the past here for BlackBerry. Did you guys happen to catch the super hilarious headline of BlackBerry not making a Windows phone?
The biggest non-news of ever.
I mean, if they were...
Alex is holding out for one, let's be honest.
Yeah. if they really said, okay, guys, we're going to make a Windows phone, it's like, then why the hell did you give up on BlackBerry 10? That's the response. Like, they have that small of a market share where if you would really be doing that, then, And it would also show if they did, that would just be like, you guys aren't focused at all. Like, what are you guys thinking? It's just no news that people like to just create
news out of. It's literally like news from nowhere. It's hilarious. I mean, if BlackBerry were to do a Windows phone, I bet you they'd make a dang good Windows phone. but there's no point. BlackBerry 10's BlackBerry 10 is still something I'd like to see on Priv hardware. Maybe not this Priv hardware, but maybe future Priv hardware. Not that that will ever probably come to terms, but what do you guys think specifically about this news? Is this something that you think BlackBerry would have done if Windows had more apps or had the same amount of apps? Like, if in all things withstanding, if they could go Windows and they could go Android and they had all the apps on either platform, where do you think BlackBerry would go if they had to make a move?
I think it's just not a good idea to diversify your staff when you're shrinking and you're cutting people and things. Like, you want to focus on what you're doing. So if you're going BlackBerry 10, go full steam BlackBerry 10. If you're like, okay, we're going to go Android now, go full steam Android. Don't, pop up and, hey, here's a CyanogenMod mod. That's not a good example, but there's...
It could be.
Yeah, and Brandon's not here to say his favorite one that he always, thinks is going to pop right back up, but I think it's about focusing what they're going to do. And that would be Android. So if they decided to go Windows Phone, even if miraculously they had the universal apps and everything like that, I think it's about market share at this point. They're a hardware company, and as a hardware company, you want to focus on selling, hardware to the mass numbers. Whereas Windows, they're totally doing what they're doing to hope to get enough market share. They're probably not making crazy money on their phones. Their phones are probably where they're losing a lot of money, and it's being funded by their other avenues. So I just don't. It's just like, what if? Well, let's say, what if BlackBerry 10 was really successful? I mean, who even cares, I guess?
Yeah. I don't know. I still think that they would have went Android. Let's look at the position and say, yeah, if everything was pretty much on par, who would they roll with? I probably think that they would still end up rolling with Android because Android has more mass appeal. But, kind of like Alex said, who even cares at this point, because it's not really news. In all actuality, the biggest piece of news in that article was actually not even really generally highlighted. Because if you actually look at the article, that question about Windows Phone was actually one of the biggest things. But the dude, I'm not even going to try and pronounce his name because I know that I would butcher it, and that's just disrespectful. But the biggest piece of news in that actual article was the question that they asked about the BB10 platform, and they asked basically what happens to the BB10 platform as you move towards Android. And his answer at that point was basically, we are committed to both BlackBerry operating system and Android. A few days ago, we launched an update to BB10, and there will be ongoing launches for BB10 versions and phones. But at the same time, that conflicts with pretty much everything else that's out there as well, because the same guy who did this launch in India for the Priv with Damien Tay, basically, it's a mixed message. One exec says one thing, and another executive says something totally different. I don't understand that. There's too many mixed messages coming out of BlackBerry for what they're actually doing to be able to go ahead and and nail one down. They all need to get on the same board and basically share that information accordingly. Yeah. Because right now, like I said, the left hand ain't talking to the right.
It seems like a lot like hasn't come down from the top, you know, in terms of some of what's going on in terms of this transition. But at least we know so far that BlackBerry is continuing to push forward with a lot of these endeavors. So as they head toward a lot more of these enterprise customers with some of their software solutions, it seems to be a marginally sustainable business as they keep going forward. But like, where do they go next, Alex? Do they continue down like a software path? Do they go to be like a target for someone else, you know, as an acquisition or what? Like, let's say if BlackBerry handsets were to die off, right? What would BlackBerry be, and what would they do beyond that? Would they just go hard on the enterprise and own that EMM space? Like, what do you guys honestly think?
And we've talked about it before that, like, it's this whole scenario where if they do lose their handset business, I think they'll kind of die in the consumer eye. And yes, they're not overly that alive in the consumer's eye right now, but at least people know BlackBerry is still in that game. I think if they get out of the hardware business, then people will stop even caring what BlackBerry is, because, you know, the average person won't even be using them in any way unless you're like in a government or maybe education or whatever services are currently using Bez. And I think that could be detrimental to the brand, or maybe people just finally back off BlackBerry and they won't be so, you know, maybe right. They could finally just be a software company and become successful because they're not under so much scrutiny currently.
That's what I was going to say. Like, there's a small piece of me that actually just wants BlackBerry to get out of the hardware business so that they are out of, like, the public scrutiny all the time and the bad headlines and stuff. Like, just go about it. Get out of the hardware business, go make a shit ton of cash in the software side and enterprise side, and don't worry about it, because right now it's so dramatic. Every single thing that they do is problematic for them, and it always looks bad. And there's people writing terrible headlines and just over dramatic. Like, it goes back to that, like, question, like, what would have happened if they had gone private, you know?
Yeah.
At the same time, if they would have went private, then none of this other stuff that we're seeing now or have been seeing since 2013 would have been, you know, a problem at that point, because we would have never seen any of it, right?
People would have still written bull, you know?
They
would have
still I think, you know, the less information the public has access to at that point, you know, it sways down some of that problematic those problematic headlines and so on and so forth. But, you know, again, there's just that small piece that's like, yeah, let's get out of hardware so that we can go and just be a good business that we know that we are.
So, right? Well, okay. I mean, say they get out of hardware, though. Like, how will you feel towards BlackBerry? Because, like, I personally, out of almost greed, I don't want them to get into the hardware business because I love the physical QWERTY keyboard, and I feel like without BlackBerry as a company, there won't be any companies making a physical keyboard that I would be happy with, and I'll just end up going to an all-touch phone and being not that happy. So, you know, two scenarios. What happens if they get out of the hardware business? What phone are you going to get? And B, are you going to be as BlackBerry? Like, what does it even mean to be loyal to BlackBerry then at that point? It's like, we don't have any use for getting Bez. We don't have any use for Watchdogs. Like, we don't have any use of their service. So does that just mean we're fangirling in the corner saying, you know, go BlackBerry software? Like, what does that even mean to support them?
No. That's Brian, Alex, not us. He's fangirling in the corner.
It's a good question, because at that point in time, like, you don't, you know, like you said, we're not actively using Bez. We're not concerned about their EMM platform or anything like that. I mean, there's at that point in time when they if they ever did end up leaving out of the hardware, there's nothing really left to quote unquote cheer for at that point. Yeah. Like, at least from the consumer perspective. I mean, I'm sure we're not the only individuals who would be playing that scenario out in their head either. You know, it's a valid question for sure. But for me, like, it comes down, like, we've discussed it before. Like, I don't know, I still have that loyalty because, you know, again, I'm Canadian and I followed the company for so long. I want to see them succeed no matter what. Like, I don't want it to be another Canadian failure, but, you know, like, it's one of those things where it's deep-seated within me to be able to go ahead and have some sort of brand loyalty to BlackBerry. But, you know, not everybody feels that way. I'm totally
off. Yeah, but I mean, but what does brand loyalty mean, though, at that point? Aside from using BBM, and if they're not even putting a lot into that, like, what is it? Like, yes, I really want to support you, BlackBerry, but that doesn't mean I'm going to get on Bez, because that's just so unbelievably unnecessary. So,
I'm not going to put my iPhone or Android on Bez just because.
Yeah. I mean, other than saying, you know, I'm not really a big fan of Apple, and that was my opinion on Apple, as opposed to I love BlackBerry, and that's just my opinion of BlackBerry. That's the way you support them, by just saying they're a great company or investing in them or what. I worry.
Investment these days in terms of loyalty, it's tough. Alex, do you find yourself like really thinking that if BlackBerry 10 had been successful, you'd long-term stay with BlackBerry? I mean, at the end of the day, there's got to be a point in the road for them where they actually have like a sustainable base. So would this hardware play, even if it had been successful, but enough of a business for them? Is there enough meat on the bone for them? Even in 2013 when they launched it, like, was there even hope at that point, like that late in the game? It's really one of those things.
And I think realistically, and a lot of people will probably side with me on this, that I was totally fine with BlackBerry 10 because I was always on BlackBerry, and I understood, yes, there was an app gap, but I put up with it. I put up with having a crap experience in Snapchat and not being able to use Snapchat, and it was like, whatever. But now that I have all of this on Android, it's tough to go back. And that's where I think a lot of people think I just jumped ship on BlackBerry. No, it's the way that anything works. Like, I don't give a shit about a fingerprint sensor right now. Ask me if I give a shit about a fingerprint sensor. I don't give a crap. But the next one I give that... Yeah, ask me. I'll tell you this is the same answer. It hasn't changed in the last 2 seconds. But once I get a phone that has a fingerprint sensor, and once I start using it and saving some, you know, milliseconds of time that adds up, I'm probably going to be like, the next phone I get, it needs to have a fingerprint sensor, and that is something that I need. So, yes, it's just difficult to be like, you know, can BlackBerry 10 ever have a chance again? Well, I think if most of their user base has gotten used to apps now, I don't think they do, because it really is that big of a deal. All of my family members, like, my mom always wanted the Weight Watchers app, and she put up with using a crap experience of an Android port and whatever. And I was like, Mom, it's fine, they're eventually going to update and it'll run a little bit better or whatever. And it never really did, but now that she's on Android and she's using all of these apps and has these games, like, I don't think she could go back to BlackBerry 10. And that's just the realization of it. Once you go off of the platform, it's hard to go back.
Yeah, it's a hard sell for people to go back, depending on what your love with BlackBerry 10 was in the first place. Like, if apps was your love for BlackBerry 10, well, then you're probably not going to go back. Like, but if you wanted the fluid experience and the smooth experience and just the ease of use for like the basic, you know, built-in functionality of BlackBerry 10, and you didn't give a damn about apps, and yeah, going back to BlackBerry 10 is absolutely easy because, you know, you can pick it up. You never really cared about apps too much in the first place.
But I guess, like, what is not giving a crap about apps, though? Because I feel like everything in today's day and age, like, has app integration having to do with it, like, in some way. I just feel like saying that I don't care about apps doesn't even make sense because, like, the damn calculator is an app. Like, everything is an app on the phone, so what does that mean?
For me, Alex, it's almost like with the more apps I have, the more digitally connected I am. And at a point, it becomes, like, too much. And with a BlackBerry, at least there's kind of, like, a balance between how much you're connected, how easy it is to get to it, as opposed to all those different things. Because you can have, like, a lot of peripherals in your life. And I've even thought about, like, do I want to get, like, a Fitbit or something like that just to add into your – to do I want to, like, you know, get all that data and get my head around it with through these apps?
I guess my experience is probably one of the ones, like, even moving to Approve, I still don't use a ton of apps. Yeah, there's probably like 5 or 6 apps that I use on my Approve that I didn't necessarily use on my Passport because of the fact that they didn't run correctly, like Trello and Slack and so on and so forth. But to James's point, I'm not out there. I'm not concerned about, like, you know, Fitbits. I'm not concerned about my Pebble watch or anything like that. I just don't use any of those things. Even Snapchat. Like, Snapchat is not something that is installed in my Priv because I just don't care about it. Like, you know, it comes down to, like, I don't know. For some people, it's probably a generational thing, for one. You know, a lot of people don't necessarily use those apps. And people, there's still people out there who laugh at Instagram and think that it's for nothing but selfies, but there actually is a business side to that as well, too, right? You know, there's lots of different scenarios where people just simply don't need apps. And, you know, the people that are solely driven by email and direct communication with SMS and, you know, managing their files and stuff like that, like, those people really don't care about Instagram. They don't care about Facebook. They don't care about, you know, Snapchat. So it, you know, I can see where people come from when they say that they don't necessarily care about apps. You have to look at their user case scenario and, you know, look at their age and all of those certain things. Like, there's different variables that span across it. So,
but see, my problem ends up coming into, well, if BlackBerry is about productivity and business, then here's where some
why
of the problems
care
come.
About the apps?
No, because I, like, for instance, I'm using a CRM and we are using a VoIP provider now who have phenomenal Android apps, and they're meant for what the software is, and the integration is great. I would not be able to use the VoIP provider that I use for work if I didn't have an Android phone or an iPhone right now. The BlackBerry 10 solution, there was none. So I'm actually limited by the physical tools I can use, the software I can use for my business and a productivity side, because BlackBerry 10 doesn't have the options available. Yeah. So as being a pro business thing, so unless I'm using Salesforce, like, I get it, I could spend $200 per user per month on that, but now I'm sucked into the most expensive business option, whereas I can save, you know, thousands of dollars a month by going with a cheaper solution that has better support and it just works better. But now you get in this whole scenario where it's like, I'm envisioning, some of what I do for my work is I'll go into a small business and I will set up software integration for them, and I will set up, you know, a CRM for them. Now, I'm scared of the fact, what if I go into one of these places and they're on BlackBerry 10, and it's like, oh, well, you know, like, one of the users on BlackBerry 10, well, everyone else I can set up on their phone's totally fine to use the CRM and everything, but you know, unfortunately, we can't do anything about it, and I'm nervous of that fact, and I can see how that was part of the, you know, detrimental, that's kind of something that hurt BlackBerry. You have all these IT support people who have to set up these phones and set up the software on the phones, and it's like, when it comes to BlackBerry, they just don't really have an option to do. And I don't know, it's unfortunate.
Yeah, it's valid, because we hear about that all the time in, like, the CrackBerry forums and stuff.
Yeah.
Like that. People, you know, complaining.
I couldn't get AirWatch in my email working on my uncle's Q10. I worked my ass off trying, talking to their tech support. He had to just get an iPhone at the end of the day. So, like, it just happens.
It's interesting that all of that spawns off of a conversation about BlackBerry not making a Windows phone, which was the least important news
of all.
Yeah, it's the least important. You know, it is. You do get to a point, and, you know, as you read through some of this news, you know, reading about Gary Klassen was obviously one of those things that was sad to hear about. Really, when BBM was, like, first getting started, had so much, like, influence on in building and coding, like, the original BBM, and bringing that kind of BlackBerry experience to a lot of people. I mean, even beyond BlackBerry, Alex, you mentioned, like, the hardware, if it doesn't actually, you know, if they were to leave that business, like, BBM would still kind of be here and be this thing that brings people back to that QWERTY keyboard experience, even though, you know, they can't necessarily buy a good one. But Priv is still here for those types of users. What do you guys think about Gary finally leaving the company? He'd been there for such a long period of time. Alex, you got a picture?
Yeah. Man, he you know what? When I met him at BlackBerry Live, he was someone that was just truly passionate about BlackBerry and about BBM. Like, it's funny, because BBM on this core level, it's so simple in a way. It's a messaging back and forth platform, but the conversation we had was just, he was so excited about, like, the D's and the R's, and he was saying, like, you know, it's like messaging, but we have these D's and these R's, and it's just, and he was getting so excited about it, just saying D's and R's and things, and it's just so funny that he was that passionate. So I think it's sad to see anyone who's very passionate in a product, especially, you know, they created this thing that now is, or he had created this thing that was used internally and then all of a sudden has 200 million users, and it's sad to see someone like that go. I do wonder to what scale he was even working on BBM, if at all, in the past X amount of years. So, like, it's sad to see him leave the company, but I wonder if he was really that involved with BBM. Maybe if you could say, I don't know what position he was actually in before he left.
Before we went on air, that's what James and I were talking about, is, you know, whether or not he was deep down into the code at this point in time, or
yeah,
you know, was he just like, with that much tenure, you sort of fall into a mentoring position role at that point in time, because, you know, you're not really deep down into the code. You're not creating the next version of BBM or anything like that. You're just sort of like mentoring those who are in those positions. And I don't know. Yeah. I'm not stating that that is the case, because I really don't necessarily know, but that's what we were talking about before we went on air. And, you know, it, like you said, Gary was insanely passionate about BBM and essentially everything else BlackBerry. Like, you know, a lot of the focus right now goes on BBM, but Gary did a ton more within BlackBerry as well. Like, yeah. BlackBerry HTML email, basically he architected that and developed that. And, you know, even down to the BlackBerry Spark, like, if Gary wasn't there, you wouldn't have the BlackBerry Spark. So,
yeah.
Or sort of, I mean,
like, it show his LinkedIn. It's that essentially he was a software developer. He was a software developer back, like, in 2000 and 2002, software developer, and then he kind of switched over, you know, concept development, and then when he left, director of software architecture and innovation. So at that point, like what you said, I think he was more so overseeing it and kind of, you know, he was probably giving his two cents and being a part of it all, but I don't think he was actually had his head in the code. And obviously you need someone who is, you know, an innovator at the company, but I don't know. It happens.
Yeah, I was going to make a weird developer joke and somehow compare you and Web Design Cheat Sheet, but I couldn't quite make it happen. But
couldn't pull it together.
couldn't pull it together at the last minute there. But, you know, as we said, it's always sad to see a really inventive mind at BlackBerry go. And it looks like there was a couple others as well. It looks like a round of layoffs has gone through from Waterloo and Sunrise, looking at about 200 people as BlackBerry estimates. You know, I think a lot of this trimming has probably been planned. I don't want people to take, like, this kind of layoff and directly correlate it with, like, priv sales or anything like that, you know, which is what a lot of the comments I've got from some of the earlier postings. What do you guys think specifically? It was interesting. I know Blaze and I were talking, and we were like, wow, BlackBerry has something going on in Sunrise, Florida. Like, what?
Yeah, like, who knew? I didn't even know.
So it's sad to see those departments go. Specifically, it looked like, you know, maybe some BlackBerry 10 and further development arms were potentially let go. It's always tough to see that stuff go through. And, you know, after, as we closed on that week, we had Chad. Did you guys happen to catch his video of the spring clip holster? He had it, such a fresh shave on. Yeah. The holster looks pretty good. I mean,
yeah, he likes it bare, and it. I think it's a good solution. People who want a bare phone, you know, and they want some type of. I worry a little bit, like, how secure the clip is, because as he was going through in the video, he was very quickly popping it off. But you get used to doing that, and he was probably just doing it, you know, quickly, because he's good at getting it off. But
yeah, just like I, like, slide my print, like, way too much. Yeah. But I'm a little zealous there. But yeah, it's been an interesting week. I'm looking to see kind of what we have here as we head toward, like, Mobile World Congress. Will we get to see some, I don't know, something? Will we get a little bit of a pulse as they kind of peak up there? Because we saw as Priv kind of was coming to a head, obviously there was some kind of push and some silent cues about it as it came forward. What do you guys expect as in, like, terms of Mobile World Congress? Do you think BlackBerry is going to have a lot going on, or going to be like another year for them where, you know, did they launch the Leap last year at BlackBerry Mobile World Congress?
Yeah, the Leap was there. That was, yeah. Because they had the shadow gray and the white one, and they showed that off. So that, I don't know. I guess that was announced, considering how heavily it was leaked before it actually got announced. But you know, it made its appearance at Mobile World Congress. I kind of don't really know what to expect from Mobile World Congress. I obviously expect some news to come out of Mobile World Congress, but at the same time, we're in that phase where there has been no lead up to anything. Like you said, there with the Priv, there was a bunch of cues that we knew that the Priv was coming. It sort of leaked out all over the place, and you know what started as rumor ended up being fact over a pretty short period of time comparatively. But nowadays there's nothing. Like, we don't necessarily have anything that has leaked out in any substantial way anyways to be able to go ahead and say, yeah, like, this is the next thing, like, this is something to look forward to at Mobile World Congress. The only possible thing that I could think of I don't know if I want to lay down the word expect, but the thing to look forward to at Mobile World Congress, I believe, would probably be Marshmallow. And yeah, you know, it depends on whether or not you're a Priv owner as to whether or not you actually care about that. If you're not a Priv owner, then it's kind of like non-news, right? Like, nobody, unless you have a Priv, you're not going to care about it. So
I'm interested to see. I think at this point we're just like, as long as it's not like more QNX news, you know, like CES 2.0.
Yeah.
It's going to be interesting because I know they'll have Priv and it's better now positioned with the carriers and distributors. So it's always interesting to see how they're going to, you know, bring some of their future stuff and bring it to a head here. I want to go to some of our patron questions, some interesting ones that I think it's worth discussing as we go through here. I did get my shirt for those who are waiting a shirt. Those shirts are going to be going out tomorrow for us. And thank you all, because you got Alex and Blaze a shirt too, so you guys are all
I got one.
No, they're pretty nice. Let's see here. I'm fiddling around right now on the desktop side of EBM channels, and it's just so fun to navigate. So here's one of our questions from Mike Robinson. We kind of touched on a little bit, speaking about Gary's role with BBM, and specifically, you know, what jobs is BlackBerry currently recruiting in? And I actually sent a link to Blaze the other day, and I was like, look at what they're recruiting for. And we kind of went back and forth on it a little bit. And a lot of this stuff is just so software side or enterprise sales side, and just really building up the sales force and getting people out there to help sell the product that they are building and that they've acquired. So, you know, Mike, to that question specifically, looking is to really build out on that software side of the equation. You know, Blaze, you kind of touched on this. Any rumors about when Priv is getting Marshmallow? Hard to say. We heard spring Q1, Q2, so, I mean, it could be here anytime in the first half of 2016 if they want to deliver early on it. What do you guys think Marshmallow is going to bring? Because, like, honestly, how much is there to do in terms from a security perspective to really bring Marshmallow to a head?
It's sad as it is. The only thing I give a crap about in Marshmallow at the moment even what I've heard, because the way that I use my phone is I have my phone in my pocket a lot of the time, so Doze won't go into effect. Like, Doze will go into effect if it's sitting there on my desk, but if it's sitting on my desk, it's normally charging anyway. So if it's sitting in my pocket, you know, if my leg moves at all, Doze won't kick in. So realistically, just like the permission bit. Because I just want to, because, like, there's been this whole thing going viral, like, delete Facebook because Facebook takes all your battery and blah, blah, blah. I just want to be able to go into Facebook, into Snapchat, and all these apps and just say, location denied, camera denied, like, everything denied. I just want to deny you because I don't want to uninstall you, but I want you to stop.
I want you to stop sucking my battery like an
vampire. Exactly. I want you to stop abusing me, and let me have it. No, there's some nice things in Marshmallow, and I hope overall just performance gets an improvement as well.
Yeah.
Just in general. But there's always going to be those areas where it's just not as good as or different than a previous experience thereof. So I wouldn't want to stay on that one too long. But Marshmallow, I'm hoping we get it, you know, sometime before summer. That'd be really nice.
Yeah.
I want them to show up to Mobile World Congress and just say, Marshmallow is available now.
Buy a Priv. Please, like, buy a Priv.
They need something impressive, like, to keep the Priv love going. As I said before, like, there's no new devices, they need something to keep the PrivLove going and basically, you know, help it sell more devices. Whether that be like carrier commercials, carrier tweets, carrier advertisements, whatever, they need to basically just push it out and keep it going and keep people excited about the device. And I think if they showed up at Mobile World Congress and did something, you know, totally unexpected, like
releasing at Verizon. What?
That too. Go ahead and check for software updates. Marshmallow is available now. That would be something that we're, you know, not really expecting, and it would help get them in the news cycle again.
We get them in the news cycle? They show up to Mobile World Congress, rocking Marshmallow, on Verizon with the Vienna.
Oh, you're asking too much now.
That would be dope. I would have to like bow down to BlackBerry real quick. Yeah. I mean, honestly though,
I miss the days where we were surprised by something that BlackBerry had. You know what I mean?
The Leap was one of those nice little surprises. You know, I've had worse surprises for sure. But Marshmallow, I do hope it comes relatively soon, and it's interesting because that leads into some of our other patron questions here pretty seamlessly. Jeff asks, future of BBM, do you think BBM is going to continue growing? I think the traction that they're already getting is worth continuing to invest in it at this point and keep it going. Alex, how do you feel on that one in terms of the future of BBM as a standalone business unit?
Man, I'm so torn on it because, like, I love BBM, and it's all I use, and I've tried to get, like, it's one of my shortcuts. If I replace, like, if I swipe up to the right, like the old hub or whatever, it is automatically compose BBM message. So, like, I love BBM. It's what I use, and I feel it's, you know, important enough to have a quick shortcut on my phone. But it's so difficult to get people to use it already. Like, you know, if they're on iPhone, it's so friggin' difficult to get them to use it. It's difficult enough to get people to use WhatsApp and already, like, there's already, like, everyone is already on WhatsApp and they're not using it. Like, it's on their phone, or they download it at one point in time, or they have an account or whatever. And I don't know how it could grow much more unless they do some kind of feature that's like, and I don't even know what that feature is, but if they develop that feature, and I was saying, you know, oh, you could do direct payments with PayPal. That's that feature that's going to bring people there. And retract and time messaging like Snapchat. Like, that is what's going to bring people there. And it wasn't. So, like, what is that feature that brings people there? Or is it just too late? I mean, you have WhatsApp, and they have over 1 billion people on their platform. And really, at the end of the day, it comes down to who is using it. And it's difficult enough to get someone on WhatsApp when you have 1 billion people on WhatsApp, and I can't even get people on WhatsApp. So,
but those stickers, man. I mean, we're getting a free one every week. It seems to be like
there's a new Deadpool pack.
Deadpool pack, bro. It's interesting because if you look at the sticker date at the bottom right, it's like the 10th of the 10th month in this year, which is just hilarious. So take a closer look. Clearly not for the U.S. release date, but still cool to see.
What do you guys think? I'm really curious. What do you guys think is going on? Yeah.
I mean, I think if BBM at this point is going to have that feature you're talking about, it has to be automotive integration on a reasonable scale. Like, you have to deliver me a really good BBM experience in a vehicle or another vertical to make me want to connect with that BBM experience. And I think automotive is another vertical for them to, you know, explore more. But it's selling that to your current OEMs and then having them resell for you, and that's a tough business to try to enter for sure. Something QNX really doesn't like to do.
Unfortunately, I don't think there's, like, on the consumer side, I don't think there's a lot that can be done to go ahead and lift BBM up to its meteoric rise that it once had. Like, I think that moment has passed. However, I think part of its future and part of it continuing to grow is going to be on the enterprise side with embedded solutions like BBM protected, of course, is obviously something that they're making use of right now, even though that any consumer can sign up for that as well. But what was the name of that organization that basically said that they were implementing BBM embedded within their application and stuff? I can't remember the name of it. It was only like last month we talked about it, but you know, my mind is drawing a blank at this present moment.
Yeah, it was a medical company. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, the name
escapes me.
Yeah, Next Care. I don't know. Anyways, it was like they're friends with Dr. Oz or whatever. But I think that's essentially something that BlackBerry is going to go ahead and go forward with trying to implement any of these Bez users that are out there, any of these EMM users that are out there. I think they're going to go ahead and try and pitch BBM as a secure solution. Go ahead and, you know, maybe, I don't know, white label it in some sort of ways so that they can basically go ahead and just implement it within their own network. You know, that way it's not like an app that you have to download directly from like BlackBerry World or Google Play or anything like that. It's just an app that's on their EMM side. They can push it out, and it may not even necessarily be branded as BBM, but mm-hmm. BBM is the protocol that's running underneath of it. You know, it may be ShareCare IAM or something.
So maybe what we're seeing here is that BlackBerry hooked up with Zoom, did the white label solution, figured out how the business worked, and now is replicating it for BBM protected.
Yeah, I mean, not necessarily out of the realm of possibility.
Yeah, and ShareCare was the company you were talking about for that accelerated consumer-driven healthcare enabled through secure kind of BBM conversations.
You know what's kind of weird, though? I love BBM, but I almost, at this moment in time on Android, would almost prefer to talk to people on WhatsApp because they have the web interface, so I could be at my computer and type to them. And I feel sad even saying that, but I'm thinking back on it. I have two or three friends that I talk to on WhatsApp, and 90% of the time when I talk to them on WhatsApp, it's through my computer, through their web interface. And
that's what Blend was important.
Yeah, but not important enough, I guess. And that's like...
Apparently.
Yeah, so like and the funny bit too is one of the people I was talking to on WhatsApp, they were like, they start messaging me, they're like, do you have a Facebook? And I messaged you on Facebook. Push bullet integration sucks. It's so iffy. It's not good. But they're like, could we just talk on Facebook? And I was like, how come? Are you at a computer? What is it? They're like, I'm at a computer. I was like, just go to web.whatsapp.com. And they're like, holy crap, I had no idea you can do that. So like, the funny part is, sure, if BlackBerry even did that kind of integration, people probably wouldn't even know about it anyway. So it only helps the hardcore users.
Yeah,
so I don't even know.
Users that don't even know that the web interface exists, that's problems.
Yeah.
I just feel like not secure that you're delivering it to a web interface.
Yeah, I mean, that's probably the other side of the scenario as well. Oh, I may not necessarily be the most secure at that point.
It's end-to-end encrypted.
Yeah, right. There's actually a new app. I don't know. Kind of like Pushbullet. It's called Join.
Oh, Join. Yeah, I tried it. It's too ugly.
It's too complicated and ugly.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's in beta at this point.
Yeah. The thing, the downside that BBM has right now at the moment, any app that you use, when you click reply, it has to open up BBM to send the message, whereas like SMS, WhatsApp, everything else, it'll just do it in the background. And the annoying bit too is if I have like quick reply set up, then someone BBMs me, and if I go and I start replying, and if they BBM me again while I'm replying, and then I click send, my message is just gone. It never sends it. So the fact that it needs to open up BBM to send the message, it's so limiting in every type of integrated app with BBM. So it definitely does have some, you know, downsides that other apps have much better integration than
Android. I wonder if BlackBerry could actually go ahead and fix that, though.
Yeah, I wonder if that was done on, if that's like a limitation of the API, or if they like purposely did it for security reasons or what it is, you know. Like, they don't want you interacting with BBM unless it's open. I can see that as almost being something they did for security's sake, but it's like, come on, have some type of integration because you're hurting yourself.
Yeah, because they can't build out all the integrations they want, you know, at this point.
Yeah.
Although Blend, I mean, that I would use it. I, as a priv user, would use it. And that's,
yeah.
Right now, that's the only person that should matter, right?
Yeah. But, they should have a unique value proposition. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Totally agree. They should have more than just a keyboard as the unique value. Because we've got big screens before, you know. We've gotten the keyboard for even before from them. All they're really bringing is the apps with the Priv and a different types of form factor that's a little bit more flexible. We had one final Patreon question. This one's from Rolando. This one's a pretty interesting layered question. You know, basically, Rolando's talking about how he has his T-Mobile application, his My Account app for the Priv, and it's a battery drainer. He also talks about a couple other apps that potentially are draining battery. He's kind of at a point, a juxtaposition point, where yeah, some of those apps are like really nice to have, but at the same point on BlackBerry 10, his battery life and some of the other performance areas were just so much more stable and reliable. So some of the questions he had, you know, losing about 12% of battery just using one app a day, which is pretty heavy. Talking about that, what are some things you guys have done to kind of optimize battery on your devices? And, you know, because you don't want to get rid of some of those options that you have in terms of applications.
Don't ever open Snapchat. And don't leave it open. Your phone will heat up and it will be like, hey, I'm downclocking my CPU because something's going crazy. So that's one thing. I've noticed that when I'm using my phone, man, when I'm using my phone and doing a bunch of different apps and stuff, my battery does drain pretty significantly. I don't really know if there's much you can do to stop it. And I have, you know, there's all of this discussion right now talking about Facebook and Facebook Messenger really genuinely taking out a lot of battery life. But the ironic part is when I go into the battery, it doesn't say Facebook or Facebook Messenger is taking any battery life. So I don't know if it's doing it rogue in the background. It's not letting me know. But something's draining my battery. I don't know what it is. Or maybe that's just what happens on Android.
Yeah, I think a lot of the things, if you want to diagnose any battery issue, you want to kind of go back to the basics and slowly add and see how your experience changes as you bring new apps on, so you can determine what was really the cause of some of your changes.
And there are root apps that you can install that'll show you down to a science, like this app wake locked your device and it's using battery, but you need root to even have it. So that method that a lot of people would recommend to you, we can't even do anyway. So
that security.
I must be like one of the individuals who doesn't have any problems, because I don't really have any problems with battery life on my phone.
I think I just want my battery to last like a century, and it's just not realistic. I don't think it's the Priv. I think my expectations are just too high.
Yeah.
I mean, I find myself like rapid charging it throughout the day just because you know,
why not?
To get juiced.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I usually do too. Now that I think about it, but I've never had any battery problems on my Priv, and I, you know, mine is obviously not a carrier device, so I haven't experienced any of the T-Mobile problems, but yeah, pretty much anything coming from T-Mobile, you know, is going to be problematic anyways because of the fact that I believe T-Mobile basically runs, like, all that carrier IQ shit in the background, which basically just taps into your phone and checks your account and all that stuff, so... You know, that if I had a T-Mobile Priv, that would be one of the first things that I would totally disable. So, yeah, it's weird. I see people complaining about the battery life, and I just don't. I can't relate on that level because I've never experienced it.
Well, I mean, a lot of people say, you know, 4 hours, 5 hours screen on time, heavy use, and realistically, 4 or 5 hours is not a lot of time. So, like, if you're like throughout a day, if say you're awake for 16 hours or whatever the heck you're awake for, talking about throughout the day, only having your phone screen on for 4 or 5 hours is not that. So like if I'm driving or if I'm listening to music or a podcast or whatever, like all that is draining battery. So I just feel like we're not at a point yet where batteries can perform well enough. And that's where it's like, okay, BlackBerry, next year when you create another phone, don't make it thinner than the Priv. The Priv is fine. Like, battery technology is going to be a little bit better. Put a bigger battery in it. Everyone's saying the same thing about the iPhones. Like, yeah, Apple, like, you're going to possibly take out the freaking headphone jack. Replace it with battery. Like, just stop making the damn thing thinner. Don't get rid of the headphone jack so you can make it thinner, because now that was now the thickest part of the phone. No, no, no. Keep it the same thickness. Just put more battery in it. And it seems like no one gets it. And the Priv does have a decent-sized battery in it, so I can't really complain much about that. But I think they really underestimate how important the battery life is somehow. I don't understand how, but
I think it's that they got to resell you on a device in the future, you know? And limiting the battery is always going to make you want more by the end of your tenure with the device. But, you know, definitely if you're, you know, at the end of the day, we want to make sure that, like, as we go forward looking at BlackBerry, we kind of understand that they are working on a lot of different angles, right? They are pushing here and there to make sure the software side of things come together. Do you guys have any other topics you wanted to talk about? I had some stuff I wanted to speak about in the after show.
No, I'm good.
Everyone's like, no.
I think Super Brian... Bowl, there's like some food that I got to get caught up on.
What's the score right now as we go through?
Should we not give it away if someone's recording it? Does people really record and watch? It's like, hold on, I got to pause the game to watch upstream. I really don't think that would happen, so you can probably say it.
We're 3 minutes left in the fourth quarter, and the score is what it is.
Is it close? Because I might actually pop it on and just see if something... No. Like, last year, something crazy happened.
It's close-ish, I guess. Yeah.
Okay.
It's neither here nor there. Okay. Anyway, take it easy, guys. We'll catch you next week, I believe, on the 14th.
Ooh, easy. Valentine's Day. I get to spend Valentine's Day with you ugly mugs.
Hell yeah. Hey.
We might need to reschedule this.
I'll be here. I can say for certain I'll be here. I'll be all dandy and happy.
What we're going to do is we're going to have Alex just do the entire show on Valentine's Day.
By myself. Oh, that would just be sad. That would be depressing.
You have Brian.
Yeah.
My birthday is on the 13th, so you guys be sure to look out for the address that you can send all of your presents to me. It'll be in your email soon.
And then you can forward them right back to me because I'm on the 28th. So.
Good.
28th. I hope my birthday is
a shirt before your birthday. That'd be great.
My birthday is the 27th. I didn't even say the right birthday.
I forgot your own birthday.
I'm done.
It's all right, Alex. I stopped counting how old I was after 25, so.
Yeah, I'm getting there. I'm about the same, too.
Alex, what year did we go to the moon?
1990.